I heard about a man who had a grandfather clock that went haywire. And at midnight, he bolted out of bed because it rang 14 times. And he said, "Wake up, Betty." "Wake up, Betty. It's later than you think." Well, it's later than you think because we are living in the end times. We're living the last hours, the last days, the last years, the last decades. We have no idea. Last week I mentioned 11 reasons why we're coming closer to the end, because every minute that goes by, we are coming closer to the end. But one of the most important facts is that we now have technology to reach even the darkest places of Africa, South America, inland China, or Tibet. We can actually proclaim the gospel by means of electronics to everyone. And in Matthew 24, it said that Jesus said that he will not come until the whole world has heard his message. So that's important to know. Well, now we're turning to the Apostle John. And it was a confusing reading this morning, that's for sure. But it's full of great stuff. Using tender words in verse 18, John calls his readers dear children, and then tells us that this is the last hour. That was 2,000 years ago, so take that into perspective. The last hour is the time between the ascension of Jesus back into heaven and then when he comes again. In that period of time, Christians are going to be faced with tough times, and over the generations and centuries we have. Well, today we're going to be warned about false teachers. And if I was to summarize this passage in one sentence, it would be something like this. The advent and threat of Antichrist shows us that the end is near. And there is more than one capital A Antichrist. There are little Antichrists all over the place in our society today. Let's look at John 2:18. It says, "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, now even many Antichrists have come." That's how we know it's the last hour. Well, the word Antichrist, with the prefix anti, means in place of or in opposition to. The Antichrist is one who opposes or seeks to replace Christ in our society. How often do we see that? Look at I picked up a dollar coin the other day, and it didn't say, "In God we trust." Just a slow eroding of our Christianity in our society. Well, we know we're in the last hour because the numbers of the Antichrists are increasing and coming and hitting us from all directions. Well, John talks, first of all, about the spirit of the Antichrist. He says in John 4:3, "But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in this world." Behind every false doctrine and every outburst of evil is the spirit of the Antichrist. The Bible records over 20 different names for the satanic Superman, the Antichrist. Here's just a few. It actually mentions the Antichrist in 1 John and 2 John. In Matthew it says the abomination that causes destruction. And also in Revelation about 30 times it refers to the beast who's coming to control the world. Well, a lot of people are trying to figure out who the Antichrist is and who he was and who he might be. Theories have ranged from popes to presidents to dictators to pastors. The spirit of the Antichrist is certainly present. And the person who might be the Antichrist with a big capital A, the one, the big boy, might even be alive today growing up in somebody's home. Well, we're going to focus on what Antichrists do. And we will establish what we have as believers in opposition to that, and then what we must do. Well, first thing, the Antichrist, they desert the church. And it says here in verse 19, "They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained in us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us." One of those that was a prime example of those who left the church was Judas. He was with and in the company of Jesus for 3 years. But he had the spirit of the Antichrist. You know that most cult leaders were once members of the legitimate church. The Apostle Paul warned about this in Acts 20. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to destroy, to distract disciples from you. Well, you know, we have people that come and go in our church and in other churches. And I'm not concerned that they are leaving the church in that way. And I'm, in fact, very happy we have people here who have said to me, Pastor, we're leaving the church because we're going to go to Pepsi or other churches or Cherry Hills to be with our family. And I encourage that. That's 100% great. I really appreciate that. We've been here 6.5 years and we've seen people come and go in all directions. We'd like to see them land in another church if this is not the right one for them. And we'd like to have people come back to us too. But those who are going and leaving the church forever and not being part of the Christian fellowship have the spirit of the Antichrist. Well, also the people who have the spirit of the Antichrist, they deny Christ. He says in verses 22 and 23, "Who is this liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son, and no one who denies the Son as the Father, because you have to go through the Son to get to the Father." Also, they deceive Christians. Verse 26, "I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you away." This happens so often, doesn't it? Jesus was referring to the Antichrist when he talked about Matthew 24. "Watch out for that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name," haven't they, "claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible." The Antichrist desert the church, they deny the church, and they deceive us. And that's what the Antichrist is going to be doing, and it's going to be so hard to identify who that is. Well, the whole study of Antichrist and error and evil can be frightening to think about. How can we know if it's true or not? How can we discern what is right or wrong? Sometimes it's hard to pick out the right in something and the wrong in something and the truth in something and the falsehood in something. There was a conversation between a husband and a wife some time ago when cars still had carburetors. That was nice. I remember fixing my own car, changing the points and the plugs and the distributor cap. Can't do that anymore. Well, the wife called the husband and said, "Honey, there's something wrong with the car. There's water in the carburetor." And he said, "There can't be water in the carburetor. How can you get water in the carburetor?" And she said, "Honey dear, there is water in the carburetor." To which he softly and very carefully said, "Honey dear, sweetheart, you have no clue what a carburetor is. There's no way water can get into the carburetor." She said, "Trust me, there is water in the carburetor." Feeling like he wasn't getting anywhere, he said, "I'm going to go out to the driveway and look at the car." And the car wasn't there. He said, "Okay, open the garage door and look in." The car wasn't there. And he went back in the house and said, "Honey, there's no car in the garage and no car in the driveway. I can't find the car." She said, "So where's the car?" And she said, "It's in the swimming pool." Certainly there was water in the carburetor. Well, it's difficult to tell what's true on the surface without looking into the situation, in this case, in the pool. Well, we don't need to understand all the intricacies of theology to know when something is all wet, do we? God has given us 3 truth detectors, ha ha ha, in this passage. "But you have anointing from the Holy One. As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you. That anointing is real and not counterfeit." That was in verse 27. You know, we're all anointed as followers of Christ, and that anointing sets us apart and makes us very special. I've said this to you many, many times. We are all very special in God's sight. It is in you. This anointing, it is part of you because you have accepted Christ as your Savior. In the Old Testament, priests and prophets were often anointed with oil for a special task to set them apart. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is given to all believers at conversion. Because it says in Galatians 4, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. If you are saved, you are anointed. You are just so special. I'm no special than anybody else. There's not some special extra blessing. It says in 2 Corinthians, now it is God who makes both of us, and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. When we buy something, we put a deposit down to guarantee that you're going to buy it. And then it's fulfilled. But Christ says, this anointing, this deposit in your heart makes you very, very special. Secondly, you have the truth. It says, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it and because no lie comes from the truth. Well, you heard that Sirbury saying, it says, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something, you know. If there's such a thing as absolute truth, and we believe that there is absolute truth. Real believers know the truth because they are anointed from God and they are part of God's heart. Well, verse 27 says, you have the teaching. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but His anointing teaches you about all things. That anointing is real, not counterfeit. Cults require that members follow a certain belief that they have to follow the leader. But the Holy Spirit says in John 14, but the counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. We are being prepared for His service by what we learn. We don't have to have anybody tell us what is truth, because we know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They claim that they have a special anointing, the Antichrist and John. And John says the true Christians know God. They know God through the Holy Spirit. They know God through the Word of God. End of case. We're all special in God's sight. Now, what should we do about this case, about the Antichrist coming into our midst? We are to remain. We're to reject everything that comes that is not the truth. The human heart is heretical by nature, and error. Errors come into our hearts like weeds go into a garden. If we fail to cultivate our heart, weeds can get into our heart. We are to remain. The word translated as abide is used more than 20 times in Christ. The things we should do, we should beware of the wolf in sheep's clothing, who tells you, He's the only one who knows about God. Be careful of that. We don't need that. The Antichrist will say that they are the only ones that have the truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth and lifts us up. Carefully evaluate the view of God that's being taught. In this church, everything is based upon the Scripture. That is our basis for belief. Nothing else. No concept, no idea, no, it would be nice if. No, we base it upon the Bible. Every cult led by the spirit of the Antichrist is based upon human effort rather than by the grace of God. Friends, because it's later than we think, it's imperative to stay close. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's important. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, like good food, like good medicine. There are lots of things competing for our allegiance. That's why we must be coming back to the cross of Christ. That's the important thing, to come to the cross of Christ and remember that He has anointed us. He has lifted us up. He has made us His special children. Let's do that right now as we remember what He did for us. Because, you know, it's really later than we really think. Amen.